Eddie, the Collegiate Sophomore. Chapter 8. Summer Break, Part 3. As the end of summer draws near, Kathy has been contemplating Eddie's theory of parallel universes, trying to make sense out of something that makes no sense at all to her. Kathy and Paula are curious whether they can enter a parallel universe at all, but Eddie thinks they might just enter a parallel universe every time they enter the portal. With classes and track about to start at the university, Kathy and Paula head to the portal alone to see what they can find out. Arriving at the portal, Paula asks, "So, what are we going to do?" Kathy replies, "I don't know. I was hoping you did." Paula suggests, "Why don't we go to a parallel universe where Eddie never found the portal?" Kathy quickly replies, "I don't want to do that." Paula asks, "Why not?" Kathy explains, "Because, in that parallel universe, I would be dead because I took that stupid antibiotic." Paula replies, "Oh, yeah. We definitely don't want to go to that universe." Thinking about it for a moment, Kathy suggests, "Why don't we see if we can go to a parallel universe where Eddie didn't invest in gold and the stock market? Then, we can find out where we live." Paula exclaims, "But, then, what if we can't get back?" Kathy explains, "If we can get there, we can get back. The portal will still be there." Paula sighs and replies, "Oh, yeah. Duh." Entering the portal, Kathy raises her right arm and states, "Take us to a parallel universe where Eddie never invested in gold and the stock market." Arriving at their destination, not much has appeared to have changed. Kathy announces, "Well, here we are. Maybe. Everything still looks the same." Paula asks, "Now what?" Kathy thinks and replies, "Let's head up the street to where the record shop is." Paula asks, "Why the record shop?" Kathy replies, "To look at the telephone directory. There's a phone booth there. I want to see where I live." Riding to the strip mall where the record shop, jewelry store, and coin store are, Kathy and Paula head to the phone booth. Looking through the telephone directory to see if they can find their names, they hope to find out where they now live. Finding her name and Eddie's listed in the book, Kathy exclaims, "In this universe, me and Eddie are married." Kathy tears out the page and, folding it up, puts it in her pocket. Paula asks, "Where do you live, girl?" Yanking Paula's chain, Kathy replies, "On 2nd Street." Paula exclaims, "You do not." Kathy replies, "Okay. I'm busted. Me and Eddie live on Poplar Street." Paula asks, "Where's that?" Kathy explains, "It's on the other side of town. Lena, the lifeguard at the pool, lives somewhere on that street." Now impatient, Paula tells Kathy, "Let me see that." Paula frantically looks through the directory, looking for her name. Finding hers and Mark's names, Paula exclaims, "Me and Mark are married too." Kathy asks, "Where do you guys live?" Paula replies, "On Ivy Avenue, wherever that is." Kathy tells Paula, "It's down the street from Poplar Street. All the streets in that area of town are named after plants." Kathy tells Paula, "I want to go see where I live." Paula replies, "I'm following you. I have no idea where we're going." Riding over to the far side of town, Kathy and Paula pass by the homes they grew up in, noticing that everything looks pretty much the same as in their universe. Arriving at Poplar Street, Kathy rides down the road, looking for the house. Suddenly stopping, Kathy exclaims, "That's where me and Eddie live. That's Lena's house. I wonder why we live in Lena's house." Paula mentions, "That's kind of like a cute house." Kathy wants to knock on the door, but she suspects no one is home since there are no cars in the driveway. Kathy tells Paula, "I don't see my Porsche, and I don't see Eddie's MGB." Kathy looks around for a while, then Paula tells Kathy, "Let's go see where I live." Kathy informs Paula, "It's not far from here." Just as they are ready to ride to Paula's house, Kathy's counterpart in this parallel universe drives down the street in her Porsche 914. Kathy tells Paula, "We're busted." Paula replies, "Yeah. I see that." With her counterpart in the parallel universe now seeing her, Kathy tells Paula, "I guess we can't exactly ride away now." Kathy's counterpart drives up and yells out to Kathy, "Don't tell me I took another antibiotic or something." Kathy replies, "No. But you're not going to believe what we just found out." Kathy's counterpart gets out of her car and tells Kathy and Paula, "Come inside with me. Everyone's going to think I have a twin sister. I'd hate to try to explain that." Paula replies, "Good point." Kathy's counterpart, Kathy, and Paula head inside, where they all sit in the Eaton kitchen at the table. Kathy's counterpart asks, "What's up?" Kathy explains to her counterpart, "We found out something new about the portal. We told it to take us to a parallel universe where Eddie didn't invest in gold or the stock market, and here we are. I looked up where I lived in a telephone directory. And we found out I live here. So we came to see." Not fully understanding what Kathy is saying, Kathy's counterpart explains, "This is Lena's parents' house. Her dad got transferred to Germany for 3 years, so we're house-sitting. We have to move out when they come back. We're saving up money so we can buy our own house someday." Kathy immediately knows there's something drastically different about this universe. Kathy asks, "So, where's Eddie now? Is he at work?" Kathy's counterpart explains, "Yeah. He's working at Angelo's right now. He gets off work at 9 tonight." Kathy replies, "Wow. How many hours does he work?" Kathy's counterpart explains, "Usually, Eddie works about 60 hours a week at the service station. He also works at Vito's bicycle shop, where he repairs bicycles." Kathy's counterpart asks, "What's all this about a parallel universe?" Kathy explains, "We told the portal to take us to a parallel universe where Eddie didn't invest in gold or the stock market. So, that's how we got here. And it's even the same day in our universe as it is in yours." Kathy's counterpart asks Kathy, "Then, how is it that you're not at work?" Kathy replies, "I took the summer off before I go to grad school next year." Kathy's counterpart exclaims, "Wait. You're going to grad school? How am I not?" Kathy replies, "Wow. This is getting deep." Kathy then asks her counterpart, "Where do you work?" Kathy's counterpart replies, "At the summer day camp. I might start teaching gym at one of the elementary schools soon. But for right now, when school starts, I'll be substitute teaching. But that's okay. An opening will come up for me sometime." Quite curious, Kathy's counterpart asks, "Deep. How is your universe different?" Kathy explains, "Well, for one, in my universe, I don't live here." Interrupting Kathy, Kathy's counterpart asks, "Where do you live?" Kathy replies, "We live on Rolling Hill Road." Kathy's counterpart suddenly exclaims, "What? Over by the university. How are you living there? Only millionaires live in that area." Kathy continues, "I'll explain that in a minute. But other things in my universe are different too. Like, Eddie only works 20 hours a week. And Mark and Paula live over on Orchard Lane." Kathy's counterpart exclaims, "No way. Are you serious?" Paula assures her, "Yeah, we do. Mark built our house himself. And Bobby B. helped." Kathy's counterpart sits back in amazement, wondering how what she is hearing could possibly be true. Now curious, Kathy asks her counterpart, "In your universe, did Eddie run track at the university?" Kathy's counterpart explains, "No. Eddie never even graduated high school. He started working at Angelo's right after Mr. Crumb told him that he wouldn't graduate." Kathy asks, "How about Braden? Did he run track at the university?" Kathy's counterpart explains, no. We saw Braden once during the year after we graduated. He came back into town and left again. He said he got a job somewhere as a police officer. After he left, we hadn't heard from him. Kathy then asks, how about Mitchell? Kathy's counterpart replies, I heard he came back one Christmas, but then he left again to organize races because no one was around anymore. I haven't heard from him since. Paula mentions, wow. This really is a totally different universe. Everyone has gone their own way. Now wondering, Kathy asks, okay. So, who is the track coach at the high school? Kathy's counterpart replies, Mr. Fraser. Everything's just like it's always been. Kathy asks, and so Mr. Crum is still the principal? Kathy's counterpart replies, yeah. Nothing's really changed. Kathy replies, wow. I can't believe it. Kathy's counterpart asks, believe what? Kathy explains, in our universe, Mr. Fraser is now the track coach at the university, and Mr. Crum is sitting in jail. Kathy's counterpart exclaims, seriously? You've got to be kidding me. Paula adds, and Barbara is the track coach at the high school. Kathy's counterpart replies, wow. Really? I miss Barbara. How and Johnson are still together, but she lives a long way away. She teaches gym at an elementary school. She would really rather have a job closer to here. And Johnson has another year until he graduates. Paula asks Kathy's counterpart, how about Bobby B? Kathy's counterpart replies, he left for Florida after graduation. I haven't heard from him since. But Osne Day, when I was visiting my mom and dad, I dropped by his house to see his parents. They told me he's now a stonemason. Paula asks, and how about Erica? Kathy's counterpart explains, after high school, she went to the police academy. I'm not sure where she is now. She said something about making sure the Chucky stays in jail a long time. Paula tells Kathy's counterpart, in our world, Erica went to the university and runs track. She's getting a degree in criminal justice. Paula then asks, how about Daryl Stone? Kathy's counterpart explains, he finally graduated and he still plays in a band. He really wanted to go to the Olympics, but he could never really improve past a 4-minute mile. So, he just threw in the towel. Going down the list of friends, Paula asks, how about Akinmola? Kathy's counterpart explains, he went to seminary. He's still around a lot. Me and Eddie now go to Dr. Akinmola's church. In my universe, so do you and Mark. We see Akinmola a lot, but mostly on the weekends. Sometimes, we all go out to eat after church and get pizza like the old days. Occasionally, Barbara and Johnson join us if Barbara is in town. But it's not quite the same without everyone else around. Out of the blue, Kathy's counterpart exclaims, hey. You found my blue stone. Where was it? Kathy tells her counterpart, well, I didn't actually find it. One day, me and Eddie walked along the path I used to walk to middle school. We stopped at the rocks, and we found a few more blue stones. We actually found a 1-pound blue stone. Kathy's counterpart asks, can I see your necklace? Kathy hands her counterpart the necklace, who looks at the stone very carefully. Paula asks, what's this about blue stones? Kathy and her counterpart both reply, they have superpowers. Paula asks, what kind of superpowers? Kathy's counterpart answers, I'm not exactly sure, but they definitely have superpowers. Paula tells Kathy, I want to hear more about this later. Kathy mentions, Eddie found some yellow stones too. We think they may have superpowers, but we're not sure. Hearing everything is so different in this parallel universe, Paula asks Kathy's counterpart, so, what are me and Mark doing in this universe? Kathy's counterpart explains, You're still working at the summer day camp. And you're looking for a job as a gym teacher. But until then, you're also working with Mark, which is where you went when you got home a few minutes ago. Paula asks, do I still have my Jeep? Kathy's counterpart exclaims, oh yeah. Now curious, Paula asks, how about Mark's Jeep? Kathy's counterpart replies, Mark never had a Jeep. You drive him to the job site in the morning. Then, after you get off work, you drive to the job site, help him out for a while. Then, you guys drive home together. You'll probably get home right after dark today. Paula asks, where do I live again? Kathy's counterpart replies, you guys live on Ivy Avenue. You're renting a basement apartment. The house needs a little work, so, for reduced rent, Mark is fixing it up for the lady who owns it. Actually, that house needs a lot of work if you ask me. Kathy wonders how her life is a fairy tale, and Haz and Eddie's counterparts in this universe apparently have been working like crazy to buy their own home. Kathy also notices that her counterpart has less energy than she does, and, in a way, seems to be a little less motivated. But Kathy perceives her counterpart in this universe seems to be very much at peace. And sadly, in this universe, all the friends that Kathy and Paula had in high school have scattered. The tribe is not together anymore. Handing Kathy's blue stone necklace back to her, Kathy's counterpart asks, would you guys help me find a blue stone? Kathy asks, right now. Kathy's counterpart replies, yeah. I really want a blue stone again. Kathy replies, sure, we can do that. A smile comes across Kathy's counterpart's face. Kathy, however, wonders why her counterpart can't go and find one on her own. But nevertheless, Kathy's counterpart gets her bicycle, and they all head toward the middle school, which is less than 5 minutes away by bicycle. Arriving at the middle school, Kathy, Paula, and Kathy's counterpart walk their bicycles through the small opening in the fence. Walking through the woods, they come to the rocky outcropping where Kathy found her blue stones. Paula exclaims, I remember this place. I haven't been here like forever. Kathy's counterpart exclaims, me either. While Kathy's counterpart and Paula are talking, Kathy begins searching for blue stones. Kathy, remembering where she and Eddie previously found blue stones, decides to first look in those exact areas. Thinking that, in this universe, the stones might be in the same locations, Kathy heads straight for the spot where Eddie first found the blue stone earlier this year. Finding the large boulder next to a tree, Kathy looks down, finding a blue stone buried in the silt next to a tree root exactly where Eddie found one. Kathy brushes off the stone and walks over to her counterpart. Handing her counterpart the stone, Kathy tells her, one special blue stone, just for you. Kathy's counterpart exclaims, you found one. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Tears of happiness begin to fall from Kathy's counterpart's eyes, making Paula again wonder what can be so special about a blue stone. Searching in the other locations, Kathy finds four more blue stones. Kathy also finds two yellow stones, like the ones Eddie found. Handing her counterpart the blue and yellow stones, Kathy tells her, here you go. Blue and yellow stones, just like the ones I found in my universe. Kathy's counterpart compares the blue stones to the one Kathy is wearing. Kathy's counterpart mentions, this one is identical to the one you're wearing. This one is special. Putting the blue stone in a separate pocket, Kathy's counterpart mentions, somehow, I'm going to find the money to make a beautiful necklace out of it, kind of like yours. Kathy replies, you will. Kathy then tells her counterpart and Paula, now, for the mother load. Kathy looks for a large stick that she can use for a rudimentary shovel. Remembering exactly where she found the 1 pound blue stone in her universe, Kathy starts scraping away the silt. Kathy mentions, I know it's here somewhere. After a moment, Paula exclaims, you're really going at this, girl. Kathy replies, yeah. and I'm going to find it. A minute later, Kathy exclaims, I found it. Here it is. Help me dig it out. Paula and Kathy's counterpart find their own sticks, helping Kathy unearth the treasure. A few minutes later, they get the blue stone loose. As they remove the stone from the ground, Kathy's counterpart exclaims, Wow! This is really, really beautiful. Thank you so much. Kathy's counterpart asks Kathy, What did you do with yours? Kathy explains, I washed it off, and it's sitting on my dresser in my bedroom. Two of the smaller ones me and Eddie had made into necklaces. We have a few others. They are really beautiful. With no more blue stones expected to be found today, Kathy, her counterpart, and Paula ride back to Kathy's counterpart's home on Poplar Street. Once home, Kathy's counterpart washes off her blue stones in the kitchen sink. Seeing how beautiful the blue stones are, Paula mentions, they really are kind of unique. Kathy's counterpart hands Paula one of her blue stones and tells her, Here, this one's for you. Paula tells her, No. Please, you keep it. Kathy's counterpart tells Paula, No, really. It's yours. Here, take it. Paula accepts Kathy's counterpart's gift, telling her, Thank you so much. Kathy's counterpart asks, What's this you mentioned earlier about Eddie investing in gold and the stock market? Kathy explains to her counterpart that, in her parallel universe, Eddie made huge sums of money by buying gold at the present time, going through the portal, and selling it at a future date. Kathy even mentions the important detail about exchanging the newer bills for older ones since, at the present time, they haven't been printed yet. Hearing how Eddie made a lot of money, Kathy's counterpart asks, How much money did Eddie make by doing that? Kathy replies, Right now, we have about $15 million at last count. Kathy's counterpart is silent for a moment, then exclaims, Are you for real? Kathy replies, Yeah. Paula adds, She's for real, all right. Silent for a moment, Kathy's counterpart confesses, I wonder how I went wrong. Eddie works 60 hours a week at the service station and has a second job at Vito's. He's really getting worn out. All I have going on right now is my summer day camp job. And we're really trying to save up enough money for a house. We have to move out when Lena's parents come home, and we want to live somewhere around here. But everything is so expensive. Kathy tells her counterpart, I can show you how to change all that. Kathy's counterpart asks, How? Tell me. Paula interjects, telling Kathy, Let's show her where the bank is. Kathy agrees, telling everyone, Yeah. We're going to the bank. Let's roll. Kathy's counterpart asks, So, where are we going? Kathy explains, To the coin store next to the record shop. Kathy then asks her counterpart, Do you have any cash? Kathy's counterpart replies, Yeah. We have about $400 in the house. Kathy tells her, Go and get it. I have about $300 with me. You can have it. Kathy's counterpart goes to her bedroom and gets the cash, and they all head to the coin store. Arriving at the coin store, Kathy tells her counterpart, I guess I can't go inside with you. So, Paula will show you how this part of it works. Kathy tells Paula, Here's $300. Get as much gold as you can. Kathy's counterpart and Paula walk into the coin store, where Jimmy, the proprietor, greets them. Jimmy asks, What can I do for you two young ladies today? Paula tells Jimmy, We want to buy 2 ounces of gold. Not recognizing the young investors, Jimmy tells them, Gold is a good investment. It's only going to go up. Jimmy then asks, Would you like maple leaves, Krugerrands, or fractional pieces? Paula, who has gained a lot of experience going to the bank, as she calls it, tells Jimmy, We have $700. It might have to be Krugerrands. Jimmy punches a few numbers into his adding machine, telling Paula, Gold is $317 an ounce. With my commission, the total would be $674 even. Paula replies, okay. We'll take it. Paula and Kathy's counterpart make the transaction, and it's on to step two. When they step out of the store, Kathy asks, how much did you get? Paula replies, 2 ounces. Kathy replies, awesome. Let's head to the portal. They all ride to the portal where they will go into the future and back to the coin store and sell the gold for a profit. Arriving at the portal, Kathy announces, uh-oh. Houston, we have a problem. Paula asks, what's that? Kathy explains to everyone, the second me and Paula step back into the portal, we'll be transported back to our universe. Paula replies, oops. That's right. I forgot about that. Kathy's counterpart asks, now, what do we do? Kathy tells her counterpart, you'll have to go this part alone. Here's what you have to do. It's really easy. Go into the portal and go forward to September 2011. Then, ride back to the coin store and sell the gold. And tell Jimmy you want bills that are older than this year. If he doesn't have enough of them, go to the bank across the street and exchange the newer bills for older ones there. Kathy's counterpart repeats the procedure back to Kathy, making sure she's got it right. Kathy tells her, good. You got it. We'll be right here when you get back. Kathy's counterpart walks into the portal as Kathy and Paula stand from a distance and watch. Kathy mentions, I've never watched this from a distance when it's happened before. Paula replies, me either. Kathy's counterpart raises her right hand, bringing herself forward to September 2011. Immediately seeing her counterpart walking right out of the portal, Kathy wonders if something went wrong. Kathy then realizes that no time elapses when in the portal, so her counterpart returned at the same time she left. Kathy's questions are immediately answered when her counterpart walks out of the portal with a smile and yells out, it worked. It worked. Kathy asks her counterpart, so, tell us what happened. Kathy's counterpart explains, I went back to the coin store and sold the gold. Jimmy didn't have too many old bills, so I went to the bank across the street. They had a lot there. Kathy asks, how much did you get? Kathy's counterpart exclaims, $3,650. Kathy gives her counterpart a high five, telling her, life just got a little easier. Doing some quick math in her head, Kathy tells her counterpart, so, with $3,650, you can buy about 11 ounces of gold today. If you brought the gold forward to September 2011 and sold it, that would be about $40,000. Giving Kathy and Paula a high five, Kathy's counterpart smiles and exclaims, got it. Kathy's counterpart tells Kathy and Paula, now, me and Eddie can give some money to the building fund at church. Dr. Akinmola has been trying to find a place to build a church, but land is so expensive. Kathy tells her counterpart, in our universe, me and Eddie bought the land across the street from the high school. We donated the land to Dr. Akinmola's church. And Mark's father, and Eddie's father are building the church building for him right now. The first service in the new building is planned for Christmas Eve. Kathy's counterpart mentions, in my universe, that land has been for sale for a long time. I drive by it every day on my way to work. Kathy's counterpart asks, on the way back, can we stop by the station? I can't wait to tell Eddie about this. Kathy replies, it would be a problem if people in the service station saw two of us. Kathy's counterpart replies, oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Paula suggests, we could hide out around the corner. Kathy agrees, replying, yeah. Let's do that. They all head to Angelo's service station, where Kathy's counterpart will give her Eddie the good news. Arriving at the service station, Kathy and Paula wait at the corner across the street as Kathy's counterpart rides into the station to give Eddie's counterpart the good news. While they are waiting, Kathy and Paula try to figure out parallel universes, and wonder how many there are. After about 5 minutes, Kathy tells Paula, "Here they come. It looks like Ed is taking a break." Kathy's counterpart, returning with Eddie's counterpart, tells Kathy and Paula, "Ed is taking a break. Tell him about the parallel universes." Walking up the street together, Kathy and Paula explain to Eddie's counterpart, as best they can, about entering a parallel universe through the portal. Kathy also explains to Eddie's counterpart all about buying gold in the present and selling it in the future. Eddie's counterpart mentions, "I wonder why I didn't think of that." Kathy replies, "You did. But it was in a parallel universe." Kathy's counterpart smiles and tells Eddie's counterpart, "I think life is going to get a little easier, hun." Eddie then has to get back to work, and Kathy's counterpart, Kathy, and Paula head back to Poplar Street. Back inside Kathy's counterpart's home on Poplar Street, Kathy explains to her counterpart, "If you go into the portal and tell it to take you to the parallel universe where Eddie invested in gold and the stock market, I bet it will take you to my universe." Kathy's counterpart replies, "I'm going to try that sometime. Where do you live?" Kathy tells her, "Get me a piece of paper and I'll write down my address." On the paper, Kathy summarizes how to get to her universe and writes down hers and Paula's addresses. Kathy reminds her counterpart, "Now, you can go to the jewelry store and get a necklace made with your blue stone." Kathy's counterpart replies, "I'm definitely going to do that." Looking through the blue stones, Kathy pulls one aside. Kathy tells her counterpart, "This is the one for Eddie's necklace. Have one made for him too." Kathy's counterpart exclaims, "Yeah. I'm going to do that. I'll give it to Eddie for Christmas." Kathy then tells her counterpart, "Well, I guess we need to get back." Kathy's counterpart tells Kathy and Paula, "Thank you so much for getting here. What you showed me is really going to make a big difference in mine and Eddie's lives. And now I have a blue stone again. Thank you so much for that too." Kathy, Paula, and Kathy's counterpart all hug each other, and Kathy and Paula head out. On the way back, as she rides down Ivy Avenue, Kathy asks Paula, "Do you want to find where you live?" Paula replies, "Oh, yeah," as she pulls the page from the phone directory out of her pocket. Watching the house numbers as she rides down the street, Paula stops in front of a small Cape Cod-style home, which is barely 800 square feet. Seeing a few small windows along the foundation, Paula recalls that Kathy's counterpart told her that she and Mark live in the basement apartment. Paula concludes that the apartment is very dark inside and can't really be too nice since the house needs a lot of work. Recalling that, in this universe, she and Mark are working very long hours and Mark has no truck, Paula tells Kathy, "I'm going back for a minute," as she turns around heading back to Kathy's counterpart's house. Kathy follows, wondering what's up with Paula. Paula rides up Kathy's counterpart's driveway and knocks on the door. Kathy's counterpart invites Paula and Kathy in and asks, "Hey, what's up?" Trying to hide her tears, Paula tells Kathy's counterpart, "Can you please tell the me in your universe about how to make money in the portal too?" Seeing Paula upset, Kathy's counterpart gives her a hug, telling her, "Of course. I was planning on it." Paula gratefully replies, "Thank you so much." Kathy and Paula head out again, this time making it back to the portal without any side trips. Returning to their universe, Kathy tells Paula, "That was totally unexpected." Paula replies, "Yeah. I'd say." Kathy suggests, "Let's go back to the strip mall. I want to see if the page is torn out of the phone book." Paula asks, "Why?" Kathy explains, "If it's not torn out, it's proof there really are parallel universes." Kathy and Paula head to the strip mall, wondering what they will find. Looking again through the telephone directory to see if they can find their names, Kathy finds hers. The page has not been torn out, but has her name and next to it, the address where she now lives. Kathy pulls the page that she tore out of the directory in the parallel universe, which shows her and Eddie living on Poplar Street. Paula, looking for hers and Mark's names, finds the same. Paula quietly utters, "This is so weird." Kathy replies, "Yeah, seriously." Before they make the ride home, Paula mentions, "In that universe, you seemed very happy and content." It doesn't sound like she has very much, but she certainly seemed like she was on top of the world. She felt so at peace. Kathy replies, "Believe me. I saw that." Kathy and Paula head home, now with a lot more to think about. In early afternoon, Eddie returns from work. Kathy is home, waiting to give Eddie the news. When Eddie walks into the living room, Kathy exclaims, "You were right." Eddie asks, "About what?" Kathy replies, "About parallel universes." Eddie asks, "Really? What have you been up to?" Kathy smiles, ready to give Eddie an earful. Kathy hands Eddie the page she tore from the telephone directory in the parallel universe, telling Eddie, "Look for our name." Eddie looks through the page, looking for his and Kathy's name. Eddie exclaims, "Where in the world did you get this?" Kathy replies, "In another world. I got it from a parallel universe. In that universe, we live on Poplar Street, and Paula lives down the block on Ivy Avenue." Eddie asks, "Really?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. Me and Paula went into the portal and told it to take us to a parallel universe where you didn't invest in gold and the stock market. And so that's where we ended up. And in that universe, you work at Angelo's 60 hours a week and have a second job at Vito's bicycle shop. And I'm working at the summer day camp. And also, in that universe, we're house-sitting for Lena's parents for 3 years while they are in Germany. Oh, and Paula and Mark live in a basement apartment. Oh yeah, and Lena moved away." Eddie exclaims, "Wow. So there are parallel universes." Kathy replies, "Yeah. It was totally weird. Everything about our life was so different." Eddie asks, "So, what else is different?" Kathy explains to Eddie all that she and Paula learned from her counterpart in the parallel universe. Eddie is quite amazed at what he hears from Kathy. Continuing their conversation, Eddie and Kathy head out to the pool for the rest of the afternoon to cool off. Back in Eddie's reality, Mr. Brian, hearing from his son, Jimmy, that Eddie knows perhaps too much about the gambling ring bust, decides to take a trip to Angelo's service station one morning. Wanting to find out more regarding any potential future arrests, Mr. O'Brien hopes Eddie will be forthcoming with any information. On the flip side, Eddie really doesn't care about sharing any information with Mr. O'Brien. At 10 o'clock sharp, Eddie rides in on his bicycle and opens the service station. Driving right up to the pumps immediately after Eddie opens the service bay doors, Mr. O'Brien has nervously been driving up and down the road waiting for someone to open the station. As Mr. O'Brien pulls up to the pumps in his old clunker, Eddie has a very good idea why the incompetent liberal communist social studies teacher is driving in today. Eddie also knows exactly what happened to Mr. O'Brien's new Mercedes. Walking out to the pumps, Eddie asks, "Fill it up." Getting out of his car, Mr. O'Brien replies, "Yes, with regular." Messing with Mr. O'Brien's head, Eddie mentions, "You look vaguely familiar. Didn't you teach at Northside?" Mr. O'Brien replies, "Yes. I am Mr. O'Brien. I teach social studies there." Pretending to have forgotten, Eddie tells Mr. O'Brien, "Oh yeah. That's right. So many people drive into the station. It's hard to remember everyone." Acting a bit sly, Mr. O'Brien asks Eddie, "So, am I understanding correctly that my son, Jimmy, tells me you know something about a few gambling arrests that were made?" Knowing exactly what Mr. O'Brien is up to, Eddie, pretending to be compassionate, replies, "Yeah. And poor Mr. Crumb. I heard he went to jail for dealing drugs. Can you believe that?" Mr. O'Brien informs Eddie I think that came as a surprise to all of us at the high school. Eddie tells Mr. Brian, I guess Mr. Crumb will be missing all the Christmas presents he's been getting. As Eddie begins to fill Mr. O'Brien's tank, Mr. Brian bluntly asks, what do you know about the gambling arrests that have occurred in the last month? Offering a few undisputed facts, Eddie replies, I heard Mr. Crumb was in on that too. And Dean Grimsby, at the university, was supposedly the odds maker. And Mr. Crumb's uncle ran the whole operation. I also heard they've all been brought in during the first wave of arrests. Mr. Brian cannot dispute anything Eddie has told him so far. Taking the bait, Mr. Brian asks, the first wave. Earning some credibility by previously stating nothing but facts, Eddie, now making up bullshit, replies, yeah. I hear the arrests will be made in three waves. The first wave was all those who were running the operation. The second wave will be the little guys, like the bookies. And the third wave will be everyone who was involved in fixing the races and profiting from betting on the events. They are still sorting out all the evidence, so those arrests haven't been made yet. Mr. Brian becomes a little anxious and asks, have you heard anything else? Making up more bullshit, Eddie replies, yeah. The ones who profited from the betting are going to be turned over to the feds, but I haven't heard which agency. Hearing Eddie's response, Mr. Brian is now very concerned. Now wondering whether Eddie's information is coming from any credible sources, Mr. Brian asks, how did you find all this out? Eddie explains, a lot of the police officers come in here for gas. The department has an account with us, so they fill up here all the time. If I'm not busy, we'll shoot the bull for a while. And all the officers in the area know Angelo. He takes good care of them. Mr. Brian falls for Eddie's bullshit, hook, line, and sinker. It's quite amazing that Eddie was able to say all he did with a straight face. As Mr. Brian hands over the cash for his purchase, he tells Eddie, I don't think it's very fair that they are going to be coming after a few people who made a couple of small bets. Do you? Eddie replies, I'd have to disagree with you. Athletes have lost sports scholarships because the events were rigged. Lots of scholarship money was at stake. Do you think that's fair? Mr. Brian, as he gets back into his car, is at a loss of how to answer Eddie. As he starts his engine, Mr. Brian yells at Eddie, what would you know about fair? Doing enough damage to O'Brien's fragile liberal mind for one day, Eddie lets Mr. O'Brien's comment go. The weekend before classes start at the university, early on a Saturday morning, Kathy is out in the driveway polishing her dune buggy. Truth be told, all the tribe members who have a dune buggy are probably doing the same thing this weekend. Eddie, who is working at the service station this morning, is also polishing his MGB, but takes a different approach. Taking 15 minutes out of his schedule every day, Eddie polishes his car a little at a time, usually when he gets home. Not seeing the road for most of the summer, Eddie's MGB is in showroom condition. Out of the corner of her eye, Kathy catches a glimpse of someone riding a bicycle up her driveway. Turning around, Kathy sees her counterpart waving as she approaches. Kathy yells out, "Don't tell me I took another antibiotic." Kathy's counterpart yells back, "Nope. Not this time." As Kathy's counterpart approaches, she asks Kathy, "So, this is your universe?" Kathy replies, "Oh. Wow. So you came from the parallel universe?" Kathy's counterpart replies, "Yeah. And guess what?" Before Kathy can answer, Kathy's counterpart reveals, "I made $200,000. Kathy gives her counterpart a high five, telling her, "Way to go, girl. Keep at it." Kathy's counterpart tells her, "I found out something about the portal." Kathy asks, "What's that?" Kathy's counterpart replies, "First, thank you so much for helping me find the blue and yellow stones. Oh, and to get to your universe, I needed my yellow stone." Kathy asks, "Really?" How is that? Kathy's counterpart explains, I tried to get to your universe, and I couldn't. So, I was thinking that you had a blue stone when you and Paula came that day. Then, I went back home, and got my blue stone and came back to the portal. And so I tried it again, and it still didn't work. Then, I rode back home and got my yellow stone. And then I tried to get to your universe, and here I am. I always knew blue stones have superpowers. And so do the yellow ones. With a sudden stroke of genius, Kathy exclaims, So, I need a blue stone to get to your universe. And you need a yellow stone to get to my universe. The blue stone didn't get you here. The yellow one did. Kathy's counterpart agrees, telling Kathy, So, you live in the yellow universe, because I need a yellow stone to get to yours. And, I live in the blue universe, because you need a blue stone to get to my universe. Kathy surmises, So, this has nothing to do with whether Eddie invested or not. It's the stone that has the power to let us travel to a parallel universe. Kathy's counterpart replies, Wow. Are we smart or what? Kathy gives her counterpart a high five, and are both convinced that they've just figured something out. Kathy tells her counterpart, I was wondering what the yellow stones do. Eddie found a few yellow stones. We were wondering if they have superpowers too. I guess they do. Kathy's counterpart tells Kathy, I'm going to go and look for more of them. Do you remember where Eddie found them? Kathy explains, Yeah. Eddie found two of them between those two really big boulders. I picked those up for you. And he found the third one near where we dug up the 1 pound blue stone. The one near the 1 pound blue stone I forgot to get for you. It's near the boulder, to the right of where we dug it up. Kathy's counterpart tells Kathy, When I get back, the first thing I'm going to do is go back and look for it. Quickly noticing the dune buggy, Kathy's counterpart asks, Is this yours? Kathy replies, Yeah. Eddie built it. Kurt Richter built the frame, and Eddie assembled it. Kathy's counterpart asks, Who's Kurt Richter? Kathy replies, Oh. Kurt Richter is the guy who modified my Porsche 914. He lives down by the beach. You've never heard of him? Kathy's counterpart replies, No. Kathy explains, Kurt is the guy who modified the 914. What me and Eddie found out was that the engine was modified too, and it has no red line. And it will do 0 to 60 in 4.3 seconds. But it has to be tuned differently to do that. Kathy's counterpart exclaims, No way, girl. Kathy replies, Seriously. I'll give you Kurt's phone number. Your Eddie can look him up. Kathy's counterpart laughs and mentions, That really sounded funny. Your Eddie. Kathy's counterpart asks, Can you show me your house? It looks really beautiful. Kathy shows her counterpart around, starting with the pool, since they are already outside. Kathy's counterpart exclaims, Wow. Your pool is so beautiful. Kathy tells her counterpart, In the summer, we spend a lot of time out here. And I do my school work out here whenever I can. Kathy's counterpart comments, And the jasmine wall is so beautiful too. Kathy and her counterpart head inside, where the first thing Kathy's counterpart notices is the metal collection on the wall. Kathy's counterpart comments, Your home is really awesome. Kathy replies, Thank you. Kathy gives her counterpart the grand tour, including the home gym downstairs. Since it is nice outside, they then head outside and sit by the pool. Kathy and her counterpart have a very long conversation, mostly about the differences between their two universes. In Kathy's universe, life is great, but very complicated. Now in jail, Mr. Crumb, and his interference with athletics, caused much strife, especially in Eddie's life. At the university, Dean Grimsby, who is awaiting trial, has caused much discord in Eddie's and Kathy's lives. McCutcheon, who has been caught red-handed planting steroids in Eddie's and Mark's lockers, was expelled from the university and readmitted due to a technicality. But on the flip side is that Eddie and Kathy work fewer hours and have more time for leisure. And the tribe is still together, having enormous fun and completely dominating track and field in the area. In Kathy's counterpart's universe, since Eddie's counterpart never graduated from high school, Mr. Crumb never got busted. Mr. Crumb is still distributing drugs and attempting to fix sporting events. After leaving high school, Eddie's counterpart in the parallel universe has great peace, but works very long hours. Dean Grimsby continues to be the odds maker for the gambling operation, also subtly interfering with athletics at the university whenever he gets the chance. At the university, the track team is still a marginally competitive team, with only a few members consistently winning. McCutcheon, having run erratic times at the university, never placed in an event. The tribe has all scattered, going their own way after high school. Life in Kathy's counterpart's universe is much simpler and quiet. Hearing about Mr. Crumb, Dean Grimsby, Mr. Brian, Mr. Ryan, Mr. Harrison, Dr. Paxton, and a few others, and their various illicit activities, Kathy's counterpart tells Kathy, Mr. Crumb, and the fixing of sports events, has got to be stopped. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll figure it out. Kathy asks her counterpart, does Officer Richard Hayes come into the station and visit Eddie? Kathy's counterpart replies, yeah. He occasionally asks Eddie if he knows anything about who's dealing drugs in the area. But Eddie doesn't really hear anything. He's too busy working. Kathy instructs her counterpart, have your Eddie tell Richard that Mr. Crumb lives on 2nd Street. Mr. Crumb goes out in the middle of the night to retrieve the drug drops from the abandoned houses on 2nd Street. They need to change their stakeout location so that it's closer in so they can see Mr. Crumb pick up the drugs. Mr. Crumb is who Richard is looking for. So, the reason they can't find the drug supplier in the high school is because it's Mr. Crumb. Oh? And they'll find metal boxes full of cash stashed in his attic with marked bills from the gambling operation. Kathy's counterpart comments, that will be a good start. I'll tell my Eddie to tell Richard all of that. Kathy then mentions, you said that you needed a yellow stone to get to my universe. But Eddie thinks we travel to a parallel universe when we go to the future to sell gold. When we do that, we don't have a blue or a yellow stone. That's kind of weird. It kind of throws a monkey wrench into the works. Kathy's counterpart reminds Kathy, when Eddie first went through the portal, he met his future self. Eddie's future self already lived the life that Eddie was about to live. But that is not necessarily constant. In my universe, my Eddie never invested in gold and the stock market. So, the parallel universes are like parallel train tracks. I'm thinking that the blue and yellow stones let you jump from one track to another. Kathy admits, you might be onto something. Kathy's counterpart replies, yeah. But what? Kathy suddenly replies, I got it. Kathy's counterpart asks, what's that? Kathy explains, the timeline of all the parallel universes is fluid, and when everything crosses into the present, it is then sealed, and there is only one past. So, it's like a zipper that's closing. If we go back into the past and change something, we unzip the zipper, and it zips up into a new reality. And everything falls into place. Kathy's counterpart observes, I see where you're going with this. Kathy surmises, and maybe at some time in the future, there will only be one of us, not two. Kathy's counterpart exclaims, I think you just figured something out. Kathy tells her counterpart, we'll go with that for now. Kathy then mentions, in my universe, Mr. Crumb is in jail. In your universe, he's still not in jail. When both universes come together, he'll be in jail in both universes. And if you guys hint to Richard that Mr. Crumb is involved in the drug operation, that's one more tooth in the zipper from each universe that will be sealed. Kathy's counterpart replies, this is actually beginning to make sense. Kathy's counterpart suggests we can always go to the library and look it up. Maybe they have a book about parallel universes. Kathy replies, I already tried that. They didn't have anything about it there. Kathy's counterpart replies, yeah, right. I'm not falling for that one. Kathy laughs and replies, well, it was worth a shot. After a long morning of talking with Kathy, Kathy's counterpart gets ready to head back to her universe. Kathy tells her counterpart, hey, if you find any other color stones, let me know. Kathy's counterpart replies, of course. And now I'm really wondering what else the blue and yellow stones do. Kathy tells her, if I find out, I'll definitely let you know. Kathy's counterpart heads back to her universe in search of more blue and yellow stones and to tell her Eddie what she learned in Kathy's universe. Later that afternoon, Eddie returns from work. Kathy fills Eddie in on the visit from her counterpart from a parallel universe that she had this morning. While Eddie is not too surprised, he is now wondering what other superpowers, if any, the blue and yellow stones have. Kathy suggests, let's go look for more stones sometime. There might be other color stones too. Eddie replies, yeah. Let's do that sometime. But, right now, let's go in the pool. Kathy exclaims, that sounds like a plan. Eddie and Kathy put on their swimsuits and head outside to the pool. Outside, at the pool, Kathy tells Eddie, you know, Tessa was very surprised that you beat her this year. Eddie replies, I'll let her win next year. Kathy asks, how are you going to let her win? Eddie explains, the Olympics are next summer. I guess I'll be focusing on that. And maybe our 4x440 relay team might make the Olympics. Kathy exclaims, wow. That's right. Eddie comically mentions, Braden could use a little work in the 440 though. Kathy replies, yeah. He's been really slacking off. I'll start cracking my whip next week. Kathy then mentions, now, I'm thinking. I wonder if I can make the Olympics too. Eddie replies, sure you can. But if you're going to stand around cracking your whip and telling us to run, I don't think you're going to make it. Kathy admits, yeah. If I want to try out for the Olympics, I'll have to train my ass off. Eddie replies, don't train your ass off. It's kind of cute. Kathy replies, thank you. Kathy and Eddie jump into the pool together, beginning a relaxing afternoon in the sunday. Putting her arms around his neck, Kathy looks at Eddie and tells him, if we're going to train for the Olympics, we're going to have to step up our training. Eddie replies, yeah. I know. Kathy then tells Eddie, we'll also have to improve our nutrition. Eddie replies, yeah, I know. Kathy mentions, we'll also have to give more time to rest and recover. Eddie replies, yeah, I know. Kathy then mentions, and we'll have to have a positive mental attitude. Eddie replies, yeah, I know. Kathy then mentions, and we'll have to tie up all the loose ends in our life. And I'm billions of kisses behind. Kathy touches her lips to Eddie's and kisses him passionately. For the rest of the afternoon, Eddie and Kathy catch up on the billions of kisses she promised him many years ago.